hurts to say your name. By Purple Threat. A Word of Honor fanfiction. Read by Zan. He spends his days alone. He practices his martial arts, no longer restricted by the torture he wrought upon himself. Chulzushu finds himself starting to fall in love with the rhythm of his body. The way his limbs move in tandem without much thought, how easy it is to fall into the familiar patterns. The burn in his belly, the ache in his muscles make him dizzy as if he were still a junior disciple, a child still wet behind the ears. Pain is a relief, proof of his healing body. However, he would rather not think about how he had come to experience his first bout of pain after having to slowly part with his sensations. It was, after all, much crueler. Losing his senses felt like the passing years of one's childhood. How eventful they are when living them and how forgetful they are after having lived them. The sharp spike of pain through his spine had felt like thunder, like a revelation. Something bigger than him, than them. It left him breathless with the novelty of it, the cruelty of the circumstance which he hadn't realized then, but now clouds the experience a dark black. "Lao Wen," he had said. "Lao Wen," he had gasped. "Lao Wen," he had breathed as his lover had maddeningly, tenderly cured him. And lost himself in the process of saving Chulzushu. Living alone isn't new to him. It was a big part of his life. Rather, it was something he had counted on to become a certainty when he left the window of heaven. He was to roam the Jianghu with the freedom of his steps, wine in his hands, and no person to share this with. His steps wouldn't have the marks of a companion beside his, nor would somebody split his wine with him. He had never enjoyed it. Now he dreads it. Dreads having to wake up alone, despises the flow of days with no chatter, loathes the emptiness of the path he walks, shivers at the chill of his bare bed. It is funny how he never laid in bed with Lao Wen all the time they were together. Funny how they were always tangled in each other, by stony walls, on hard grounds, against trees, which never felt cold. Now he has a warm bed, a person he wants in that bed with him, yet it is the coldest place in this godforsaken snowy land. Funny how he has never laid in bed with Lao Wen, and he never will. He was so tired. He remembers feeling good, feeling exhausted, feeling. The numbness in his shoulders, the burn around his hips, the spasm in his thighs, the crackle in his spine. Oh, his spine. He swears he can still feel it, how it had started somewhere deep in his tailbone and trickled slowly upwards, lighting his entire soul as if his body was eager to get marked in more ways than one, and left his scalp tingling. He remembers waking up feeling hungry and thirsty. His body had still demanded food and water in the early days of his eternal torture, unbeknownst of its incapability to stomach it. Not anymore. Not since. There was no longer any warmth. It was an immediate realization. Not the physical kind. His body had still borne the signs of their coupling. It was the unknown chasm of being bereft. He had felt foolish. Surely Lao Wen was gone to fetch a cloth, maybe find a way to escape this fortress. Surely, certainly Lao Wen wouldn't leave him just after having fucked him within an inch of his life. He hadn't even seen a passing shadow of Lao Wen for a year. "Do you remember when we first met, Chulzushu?" He sighs, with the expected exasperation. That hasn't changed. How being with Lao Wen is oftentimes annoying and rest of the time amusing. This, however, isn't amusing in the least, but he still smiles. He can't help it. Under that tree, the one by the small lake. He had been wandering aimlessly, as was the story of his life. He was walking without any destination, as was the story of this place. He was seeing without looking, as he was wont to do those days. Those days before the new everything. You startled me. Wen Keqing looks smug, his eyes alight with humor.
You have backed away like a cornered animal. It was hilarious.
It wasn't. It was a nightmare. Everything in his life had always been planned. It had been meticulous. His training, his schemes with Prince Baiyun, his work with the Window of Heaven, his self-planned destruction come freedom. But everything with Lao Wen is always so sudden, terrifyingly unexpected, remarkably thrilling. It had been that way when they were down there. It became this way now that they are up here. In the fraction of a second, always, always. He should ask Lao Wen to give him a break, cut his heart some slack from running it a mile with every glance, every touch. They never seemed to mean much to him anyway. He is the only fool here. He is one of the only two people here.
How did you know my name, though, Chuzushu?
Wrong. Wrong! How ridiculous, this question. How absurd that they even have to speak of it. He thinks. It's engraved in my heart. Thinks. You made me say it different ways each time. All of them so dear to me. To you too, once upon a time. Thinks. I'd remember your name, even if I forget to speak mine one day. Thinks. You are so obnoxious that you would be offended if somebody didn't know your name.
Ah, well. They probably speak of the philanthropist Wen Keqing even down there from where you are.
He laughs, tips his head back in glee, and smiles at Chuzushu in that teasing way of his. Chuzushu huffs and looks away. Even now Lao Wen never expects him to answer. Fills the silent spaces in conversation with idle chatter, never forces him to speak, but is always ecstatic when he manages to wring some words out of him. That hasn't changed. It makes him angry. If life was going to turn sour, it should have done so completely, wholly. Bittersweet had never suited him, and it isn't any more palatable now. But he makes do. He has Lao Wen's smiles, his beautiful face, his silly humor, the mischief in those big eyes. It leaves him wanting. Makes him hope, drives him mad. It makes Chuzushu want to claw his hair off, scream loud and long, and hold Lao Wen by the collars and ask him. Ask him why? Ask him how? Just how could you do this? How could you forget me? How could you give up on us? Not that Chuzushu would get an answer. Not even an inkling of understanding. Wen Keqing, he doesn't feel anymore. A performance. That's what it is. He hadn't known at the beginning. It took him what felt like half of his life to come to terms with the fact that Lao Wen doesn't know him, that he doesn't recognize him, that he forgot his Ashu. That now he is Chuzushu, who he had never been nor seldom was for Wen Keqing, which he is now, always. The first hurdle had been to say Lao Wen's name. He loves that name, adores how it reflects Lao Wen's entire being, his personality, his story. How speaking his name once had filled his heart with tender sorrow for this man, had made his heart flutter with the privilege of being allowed to say it. He thinks Lao Wen had offered him the same privilege now, had even taken himself by surprise at his willingness to allow a mere stranger to use it. That's what gave him hope at first. That somewhere, deep down, in Lao Wen's heart, there's still a small corner for Chuzushu. That even though his mind has forgotten everything, his body remembers. The way Lao Wen had inched closer when they first met by the tree, as if helpless, had stepped right into Chuzushu's space,
had actually cornered him as if they had just parted for a day, as if they were lovers who would return to each other's arms by nightfall. Nothing like the fact that Chose Shu had thought Lao Wen lost to him, had not seen Lao Wen for a year, not to mention that Lao Wen doesn't even know him. He had stepped back after, in the span of an achingly fast heartbeat, and Chose Shu had stepped closer, drawn by an invisible string, chasing Lao Wen's warmth. Lao Wen had stepped back.
Wait. How do I know you are not here to kill me? I have many enemies, you know.
He had snapped his fan open, which immediately made Chose Shu weak in his knees, and hid half his face behind it. The twinkle in his eyes remained unmasked. Who would make an enemy of the great philanthropist Wen? He had teased back, in contrast to his wildly galloping heart. The light in Lao Wen's eyes faded for a second, only to return as he tipped his head back and roared with laughter.
Right, you are correct. I am Wen Dashiren. Who would want to kill me?
Many people. I am Chose Shu, he had said, hoping against all odds that Lao Wen would say,
No, you are not. You are Maya Shu. Nice to meet you, Chose Shu.
It had taken the other half of his willpower to come to terms that this was all a performance. He would laugh at the absurdity of it all if it didn't make him want to cry his eyes out at the same time. How it's all in the name. How we put so much meaning into names. How they are nothing but syllables in people's mouth or mere characters on a paper. How our lives morph into stories that render our names their meaning without us knowing, without our awareness or assent. How Wen Keqing down there had chosen this name for himself, a reflection of who he is, the promise of who will always be. It had taken so long, day after day, playful banter turned meaningful gestures, silly humor giving way to heart-to-heart confession, battles and promises to bring Wen Keqing out of his shell, to bare his heart to Chose Shu. How Lao Wen had chosen him. How choices can turn into fate. Oftentimes, not pleasant. It's the same now. Lao Wen hides behind his laughter, his fan, the flamboyance of his self, his poetic words, meeting Chose Shu's eyes, but never without any anticipated weight. For a man who was adamant to hide himself from Chose Shu, his heart had never been a mystery, having worn it always on his sleeve. Now? Now there's none of that. It is still a performance, a mask, a cover, but not out of choice, but out of helplessness. He thinks Lao Wen doesn't even know himself.
We should play a game, Zishu, Lao Wen says from where he is perched against a tree.
Chose Shu is sharpening wood, working the blade to make arrows. He looks up to see Lao Wen's head tilted sideways, his eyes expectant.
No, he replies.
Lao Wen whines.
Come on, Zishu. It's not like... it's not like we have anywhere to be.
He laughs, as if it's the funniest thing in the world. Chose Shu rolls his eyes. I'm busy.
No, you're not. What are you going to use those arrows for anyway?
He doesn't reply. He doesn't need to. Never has. Lao Wen whines some more.
Fine, he acquiesces. A Shu is so good to this one.
A corner of his brain whispers. He ignores it. Lao Wen brings one of his knees to rest against his chest, his left hand on his left knee folded on the ground. He angles his body closer to Chose Shu and says,
Let's ask each other questions. I hear it's a good way to get to know one another.
They have lived surrounded by snow for almost 3 years now. Lao Wen has never once asked him anything. No questions. Ever.
What are we, school children?
Yeah, don't be like that. You are no fun.
There should be a catch.
At Lao Wen's puzzled face, he groans and says,
a fun game always has a catch, to make it more interesting, to make it fun.
Is that so? Does Tishu have anything in mind?
He pretends to think, to give himself time, to convince himself that this isn't crossing a line.
For every question that either of us don't want to answer, we have to instead perform an act of choice of whoever asks the question.
That doesn't seem so bad.
It is. It's dangerous. He thinks Lao Wen knows too, is only pretending not to.
You can go first, he offers.
Zishu is so generous,
he smirks.
Have you ever tried to walk the entirety of this land? Tried to map it?
He's not surprised by the question. He is sure Lao Wen has done so too.
I tried to walk to the end of it, to see where the snow ends and the plains begin.
Lao Wen nods, listening intently. It's disconcerting being the only object of Lao Wen's attention.
I was even tempted to leave this place after I found dry land. He can see the next question in Lao Wen's eyes. He beats him to it before Lao Wen undoes him in four words.
What do you do when you are not here bothering me and eating my ear off?
So rude, Zishu. You love the nonsense I speak. Do not lie.
He does. He particularly enjoys the way Lao Wen's mouth curves around a few words and how kissable his lips are.
I go watch the birds and those hopping animals. During the night, I gaze at the moon.
He looks up at the sky and says,
you should come see the stars with me sometime, Zishu.
It hurts. Lao Wen looks back down at him, squints, covers his eyes with his hands, and exclaims,
ah, the light is always on you.
Cho Zishu wants to kiss him. He looks away.
If you decide to leave one day, will you go back to doing what you did?
Cho Zishu had told him about his life, about his disciples, about his job, how he came to hate it, how good he was at it. It didn't feel like a secret. Lao Wen knew already, he just didn't know that he knew. This wasn't new to him, speaking about it with Lao Wen, so he didn't bother trying to hide anything from him. No, maybe I would take a few disciples. I have always enjoyed teaching, though I'm not sure I'm very good at it. He resolutely does not think about his last disciple. Their last disciple. He doesn't even know if it's a safe topic. He is scared to know if Lao Wen's wipe memories have no traces of even Cheng Ling. How much have they lost? How much?
I'm certain Cho Zishu is an excellent teacher,
he says, pointing his fan at Cho Zishu. He huffs and looks away, working his blade on the wood. What food will you eat first after leaving here? Lao Wen shuts his fan with a snap. He says solemnly,
Wolong nuts.
Cho Zishu roars with laughter.
Are you going to queue outside the shop like you did back then? Are you going to rope in our poor disciple to accompany you?
He knew it was dangerous. Lao Wen's eyes shudder. They go blank. Lifeless. He exhales and it feels like he is drawing the breath right out of Cho Zishu's lungs.
Why do you never use my name?
Cho Zishu stops breathing altogether. It hurts, he thinks. It hurts to say your name.
I don't want to answer that.
Lao Wen's laugh is a mocking thing. It sets Cho Zishu's hairs on end.
Ah, that was easier than I thought it would be. So touchy, Zishu.
He derides.
What should I make you do?
It's not as if Cho Zishu would ever refuse Lao Wen anything.
I think Zishu should show me the place he is most scared of in this never-ending land.
Cho Zishu grits his teeth. He has never been at the end of the Ghost Valley Master's sadism. He isn't as afraid of it as he had expected to be. He's simply angry at himself. He nods stiffly and rises. He puts his arrows and blades into the satchel he brought with him
and starts walking. He doesn't have to look back to know that La Wen is trailing after him. Curiosity, they say, is one of the first base human desires. Chuzushu regained his senses after dual cultivating with Lao Wen. Chuzushu lost his will to live after he found himself alone the morning after. Chuzushu had made love to Lao Wen for the last time on this wooden floor in this fortress that he hates. He hates it because this is where he lost his love. He hates it because this is where his love lost himself. For him. For Chuzushu. For Ashu, who no longer exists. Wen Keqing, he thinks, has paid the price. For cheating. For deciding to take something from the world. For choosing to topple the balance of the universe. By losing a part of himself. Parts of his personality. His senses. Which, if physical, would have been bad. Would have made Chuzushu resentful of himself if he were to be the reason Lao Wen had to deal with the torture Chuzushu had had to. However, what Lao Wen had lost were emotions. Chuzushu feels helpless. Has been feeling helpless since he figured it out. He had tried first to get Lao Wen to kill, to hunt. Power has always driven mankind forward. It's infallible in its capacity to make one feel human. Lao Wen had looked at the animals almost as if bored, as if it was a nuisance, not worth his time. Tales of sorrow, of tragedy, of fallen empires and wronged souls, to evoke empathy, maybe. Lao Wen had given all the right reactions, almost too right, very clinical. As if he had practiced or simply doing what his mind told him was right. That's when Chuzushu decided that there was maybe a chance, however small it may be. Is Chuzushu scared of a building? Ah, does it have ghosts? I have always been fond of ghosts. He wants to laugh, again, but he might slip again. He doesn't reply. He takes Lao Wen through the library, where Lao Wen spends a good amount of time stacking a pile of books of poetry. To take back home, he says. Home, of course, Chuzushu repeats dryly. They go to the granary next, and Lao Wen's eyes become comically big seeing all the rice and grains.
This is ridiculous,
he marvels. Tell me about it, Chuzushu had conveyed with an appropriate roll of his eyes. When they are finally stood at the platform in the middle of the biggest room in this fort, Lao Wen doesn't even bat an eye at the ground where Chuzushu had wantonly moaned, "Oh, Wen, oh," into the tiny breadth of space between their entwined bodies. Chuzushu had always been scared of things he was helpless to control, of things he was uncertain of. He is scared of this place because it might hold answers, or it might be the thing that finally breaks everything. His every breath is full of trepidation. He feels it sink deep into his bones. This fear, it's inexplicable. He doesn't understand it himself, not completely.
Are you going to tell me why?
Lao Wen asks, seated on the floor exactly where he laid Chuzushu down and devoured his entire soul. He feels an urge build inside him to remove Lao Wen from the floor, to scream, "This is mine! This was ours! His and mine! You do not belong here!" It's irrational. You only asked me to show you this place. I don't have to tell you anything. He sits down, facing Lao Wen. This feels like a mockery of what they did here last time. Lao Wen pouts but waves his hand in a placating manner and gestures to him to continue. He's already so tired of this game. He wants to attack. Who do you miss the most from down there?
My sister.
The answer is painfully instantaneous. Chuzushu regrets everything, mentally kicks himself 1,000 times, and utterly fails to control his eyes from welling up. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
It's not, he insists. Lawen doesn't have to hide this. Not this, of all things. He should be enraged. He should... They should...
I'm tired of this world, Ashu. It's good up here. The snow makes me feel like I'm close to her.
Chosushu has to close his eyes to let his tears fall. He opens them to see Lawen looking at him.
She loved the snow.
His traitor's heart beats wildly in his chest. He fears it might leap right out. He feels close to bursting.
Ashu.
He's not sure if he heard that right, but he's going to treasure it dearly. They go back there again and again. His hatred and fear are nothing compared to the happiness of seeing Lao Wen in that room. To sit with him like teenagers breaking rules, whispering secrets and playing a dangerous game. Sometimes they don't even talk. Chosushu leans back against a pillar to enjoy the rare heat of the sun. When he opens his eyes to sneak a glance at Lao Wen, he finds Lao Wen already looking at him. That does things to his heart he has no name for. He still spends most of his days alone. He hates it a little less. He has these meetings with Lao Wen to look forward to. Chosushu thinks of asking him to spar with him. He had built up courage to ask him once, but stopped himself at the last moment because... well... Chosushu had never had to ask. Sparring, fighting is like a dance to them. They fall into it without any planning, without preamble. Lao Wen is unpredictable in his attacks. He misses how Lao Wen would hold him by his waist mid-spar. Not a single book in this world on martial arts that recommends capturing one's opponent by the waist, and yet. He longs for how Lao Wen would laugh when Chosushu would roll his eyes at his antics, and would bend his head down to kiss the frown off of Chosushu's face. Lao Wen's kisses are like the red of spring. They leave him insanely happy and always eager for more. He wants to bask in them for eternity, be filled with affection for this ridiculous man. Their lives are now eternal, but incompletely so. Those four words come sooner than he anticipated, in a question that makes him less angry than it scares him.
Why didn't you leave?
He can see the challenge in Lawen's eyes, can already sense his victory in that heart-stopping smile.
If you found a way out of this place, you could have left. Why are you still here?
It's meaningless to even entertain the thought of answering that question. He refuses to.
Ah, then Tsushu must do as I say.
There's not a question that Lao Wen refuses to answer, ever. No, that's not right. Chosushu has just never managed to get one on Lao Wen. He is glad about that. He doesn't know what he would make Lao Wen do.
Let me braid your hair,
says Lao Wen, walking to his side of the room. Chosushu stares at him, at the sweep of his robes, the length of his stride, and thinks he's going to bend down and kiss me. His Lao Wen would do just that, would cajole Chosushu into letting him comb his hair and spend hours styling it in more ridiculous ways than one. At the end of it, when he's bored, he'd say,
"My Ashu is beautiful in anything, but I prefer his hair loose."
To see Chosushu wearing his hair stick, of course.
Of course,
he'd say back, and let Lao Wen do as he pleased. This Lao Wen doesn't do that. He comes to sit behind Chosushu, already sure of his acquiescence. It's not as if he can refuse. It's all part of the game, after all. He waits with bated breath, waits to see what Lao Wen...
Can you remove your hair stick for me?
He doesn't know what he had expected. It fills his heart with sorrow nonetheless. He removes Lao Wen's hair stick from his hair, clutches it tight in his fist, and tells himself it's because Lao Wen is touching his hair after so long, and not because he is disappointed. They are still in the same hands, the movements even gentler since it's new territory for Lao Wen, the way he was when they had first begun doing this down there in their world. The confident way in which Lao Wen had grown to touch his hair,
knowing where it hurts, aware of where it pleasantly tingles, how domestic it was, used to make Chozushu blush to the roots of his hair. He was only glad that his face was always turned away, or else Lao Wen would never let him live it down. He separates Chozushu's hair into three parts and starts braiding it. While Chozushu was lost in thoughts, Lao Wen had already weaved two small braids on either side of his crown. Now he ties the loose hair into a simple braid and gently lays it on the front of his shoulder.
"All done,"
he says, and Chozushu feels him inch closer, as if to... But he only inhales and continues,
"Your hair smells so sweet."
He feels like he's standing at the edge of a cliff, his breathing haggard and his footing uncertain, involuntarily swayed by the winds. He's going to fall.
"You will hurt your hand with how hard you are holding onto that stick,"
Lao Wen informs, matter-of-factly. He covers his hand over Chozo's shoes, his comparatively smaller than Lao Wen's. He thinks he gasps somewhere outside of himself. When Lao Wen feels him relax under his touch, he makes a move to remove his hand. Chozushu catches it in his own, the hair stick pressing into both their palms. "Why do you keep doing this? Is this funny to you?" He is furious, like a hot flame that is only getting stronger with each passing second. He thinks he might burn himself, burn them both. He needs to get out of here. Lao Wen is looking at him with something akin to curiosity in his eyes. They move cleverly, peering at his face as if he is a spectacle. He is furious. He needs to leave. He does. He leaves Lao Wen in that place, all alone, with his hand hovering in air where he was going to touch Chozushu's face. Maybe Lao Wen likes him. His Lao Wen loved him, had died for him, had given up everything for him, himself, his memories, his life, their eternity. This Lao Wen is curious about him. There's wonder in his eyes every time he looks at Chozushu. It was subtle at first, in stark contrast to how his Lao Wen had staked his claim, like a storm making its presence blatant, a force of nature. The Lao Wen of now desires him. It's euphoric even now. Chozushu should be ashamed, certainly. He should be incensed. He is. This feels wrong. It's the same face, the same way of flirting. It sets his soul aflame, red hot where previously it was a slow spark that left trails of teasing kisses along his skin, like goose flesh. He feels feverish with how much he wants it. He lets himself be kissed under the heat of the sun, the rays falling across his face, his head resting on Lao Wen's lap. He had refused to answer another question. He doesn't even remember what it was, something mundane, something inconsequential.
"I already know what I want you to do."
Lao Wen had purred against his ear, head bent and wisps of his hair tickling Chozushu. "Do whatever you want, just don't make me move from here."
"Ah, but that's exactly what I want you to do."
He has stopped having expectations. This game, he is not very good at it. It's all a ruse for him to be close to Lao Wen. It's a greedy thing, this ecstasy. He's only human, however immortal they are now.
"Are you sure, Ashu?"
His eyes flutter open and he only has a second to brace himself, to drink in the heat in Lao Wen's eyes, and then he is being kissed. His eyes shut themselves and he hears one of them gasps and realizes it was him when Lao Wen's hand comes to circle his neck. He thinks he might cry. The warmth is being snatched away from him as fast as it was gifted. He makes a sound of protest, moves forward to press his lips to Lao Wen's, but he's being held back by that big hand. He thinks he might cry, more out of frustration than happiness.
"Dad,"
Lao Wen swallows. His cheeks are a ruddy red, splotches high on his cheeks. There's a wildness in his eyes which makes Chozushu want to ruin him.
"That wasn't our first time. I don't think so.
He shakes his head, as if the movement would disperse those thoughts. Chozushu gets up, strides his legs on either side of Lao Wen's hips, and sits in his lap. He's too fast for Lao Wen to stop him, and the way Lao Wen's hands fall automatically on his hips, where he can still feel the burn of those fingers the last time they had held him there, make him dizzy. It gives him hope. He smiles.
Chozushu, what?
Lao Wen's hands are almost painful on his skin, even through his thick robes. His name, much more hurtful, however.
Please, he cries, presses his forehead against Lao Wen's and pleads.
Stop. Stop saying that. That's not how it's supposed to be.
What does that mean?
Nothing. Nothing's wrong. You are fine. He kisses Lao Wen's nose softly, tells him, we are just fine. Lao Wen doesn't kiss him again for a few months. He doesn't even touch him, keeps his distance, but never stops flirting. He still braids Chozushu's hair, sits with him as Chozushu sharpens his sword and practices archery. His gaze is profoundly heavy on Chozushu, the heat of it scalding. Lao Wen will be the death of him. One day, when they are exploring the fort, having found another secret door, there were many, some dead ends, a few leading to treasure rooms and more books, always books. This one opens into a wine cellar. Chozushu laughs. He howls at Lao Wen's adorably confused expression and kisses him. This is ridiculous. It's maddening. He gets drunk on the sweetness of Lao Wen's lips and forgets all about the wine. Lao Wen pushes him against the wall, cages Chozushu with his big frame, and Chozushu basks in it. It fills his heart so full of love. He laughs into their kisses, and when Lao Wen grinds into him, he doesn't stop him. He lets him take and take.
I can't believe a stinking room of alcohol made you kiss me, and not what I have been doing for 4 years.
He sounds outraged, offended.
And what exactly is it you were doing? Trying to get you to fall for me, of course.
He laughs. He can't help it. He is happy. You know what that means, do you?
Ha! Huh. Lao Wen makes a sound of distress. The mouth on you. Of course I know what that means. I have read about it.
Chozushu only laughs. Lao Wen doesn't speak to him for 2 days. Maybe this is fine. It's good. This can be their new everything. He thinks about how they had chosen each other, how their love wasn't a tale of fate, of destined lovers, how they had worked to get where they were, the willingness of it all, their trust in one another. He thinks of how this Lao Wen had chosen him still, now. He didn't have many options, but Chozushu is not going to let that deter him. He'd choose Lao Wen in every lifetime too, fated or not. Good things, however, do not last. Some days, when they are tangled in each other's arms, when they are breathing each other's air, drawing moans out of helpless mouths, Lao Wen calls him Ashu. He says it with reference, with fealty, always at the height of passion, when Lao Wen is seconds away from completely losing himself. Today is slow. They are trading soft kisses on the floor, on that floor. Lao Wen kisses his neck, trails down and bites his clavicle, making Chozushu buck his hips into air. He whines. Lao Wen is holding himself up, not meeting Chozushu halfway. It's syrupy sweet, and he loathes it, He wants it fast, and he wants it now.
Ashu.
He hears, and that is enough to make him think properly again. He doesn't want to.
Was I always greedy?
I think I was. He tucks Chotoshu's hair behind his ear delicately and smiles, a pitiful thing.
I'm going to be even more greedy now.
Chotoshu feels the dread that usually accompanies him these days. Dread that has been his friend since they set foot into this place all those years ago. Eternity is a long drag of time. It has only been 4 years, and he doesn't mind spending the rest of it this way. With this Lao Wen, who knows him, but doesn't. This Lao Wen, who smiles into his kisses, who once spent a week trying to find flowers in this barren land to weave them into Chozushu's braid. This Lao Wen, who still flirts with his sappy poetry, and who drinks wine with him as they gaze at the endless sky full of stars. This is good. It is wonderful.
I want to remember.
Somewhere, somehow, he doesn't know when though, Chozushu had made peace with the fact that he was to carry the burden of their memories alone, the void spaces of their life only for his heart to know, never to be spoken or recollected ever again. He brings Lao Wen's hand to clutch the hair stick, nods kindly when Lao Wen's eyes widen in shock, and makes him remove the hair stick. Lets him touch it for the first time.
Ashu,
he gasps, and Chozushu swallows it with a kiss.
It works both ways, an obvious thing. If Lao Wen can heal him, Chozushu can do so too.
He didn't know he was waiting for Lao Wen to ask, how much ever he had buried this lost cause of a hope. A dream, he had told himself. This time, when his spiritual energy is pouring into Lao Wen, the tendrils of his light entwining with the surge of Lao Wen's force. A thing of vibrant beauty, Lao Wen is the only one to cry, Ashu! To moan, Ashu! As if helpless, to grab onto Chozushu's arms as he relentlessly makes Lao Wen writhe under him. Ashu! You are fine. I'm here. You are fine. He reassures him as Lao Wen slowly loses consciousness. There is a disciple now, a young boy, younger than Chang Ling was when he was under Chozushu's tutelage. The boy is eager to learn. Chozushu was eager to leave. A coward, that's what he is. Has always been. He failed to protect his sect, his disciples, and had decided to end his own life. Now, he has left Lao Wen there, alone. Just like how he was left alone. He doesn't think he can face Lao Wen, not if it didn't work. He can't face him if it has worked. Does he even want it to work? He imagines how it would be, the way Lao Wen would look at him, how their days would be even more lovely, how he would be the luckiest man in the world to have the same man fall in love with him twice, how Lao Wen would say his name, would say, Ashia, all the time and not just in throes of passion. He misses him. He misses him so much, even if they are together all the time.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Wait, it's... He turns back to see. It's Lao Wen. Lao Wen looks beautiful, the white of his robe starling against the snowy backdrop. He is here. He found Chozushu. He is saying something. Chozushu should pay attention.
Ashu, you are misleading the disciples again.
Lao Wen. His. The light. This time, the light is on you. Lao Wen smiles, a soft thing. It starts in his eyes and lights up his entire face. Then he is attacking him, and Chozushu is... He's breathless and weak with how much he has wanted this. How he had yearned for their dance. By the time they are done, he is close to tears, but his lips have a mind of their own. They are spread wide in a smile that aches pleasantly. Lao Wen's hands are around his waist, holding on tight, and he is whispering against Chozushu's mouth.
Say it.
What? Say what? He kisses him, and Lao Wen giggles into it. He keeps Lao Wen still by holding onto his hair, white tendrils of silk. Lao Wen, Lao Wen, Lao Wen.
Ah, sure.
He whines, stretching the syllable, rolling it on his tongue. It is music to Chosushu's ears, and he lets Lao Wen whine some more.
You stopped saying my name.
Oh. He had hoped Lao Wen had noticed, or rather, forgotten that Chosushu used to say his name, had called him Wen Kuxing. But then he had stopped, because it...
It used to hurt.
Lao Wen confesses.
I called you Chosushu, and my heart cried every time I said it. I knew, I just knew how wrong it was, because that is not what I'm supposed to call you. You are my Ashu, you are.
He says it, as if he's aware that it's the same for Chosushu as well. Yes, heavens, yes. Lao Wen.
The end. You've just finished listening to Hurts to Say Your Name by Purple Thread. If you enjoyed this story, please leave the author some feedback on AO3. And if you enjoyed my production and performance of this story, please leave me some feedback. You can find me as Zan_reads on AO3. That's Zan with an X. Thank you to Purple Thread for giving me permission to podfic this story. The music used for scene breaks is Xue, Fa Ru Xue, which I probably butchered. The translation is Hair Like Snow by Jay Chou. This podfic was recorded on the 22nd of December 2021. And now for some reader free talk.
Shows up a year late with a podfic and a different voice.
Hi. I've been on T for 16 months now. It is now February 2022 as I'm recording this free talk. And I believe the difference is finally noticeable. Go back to the last podfic I published last year in 2021, and I'm pretty sure you'll hear a difference. So I had every intention of recording one podfic per month while my voice was changing to track the differences, but then I fell off the wagon in spring 2021 and just couldn't get back into it. I had lost motivation to podfic and lost some interest in my main fandom at the time, which was hockey. But then in summer 2021, I found a new fandom, which is this one. And it took me a while to find a story that had enough pull to make me want to podfic it. I'm learning Chinese, but I'm feeling very self-conscious about my pronunciation in general, but also of names in this story. Which is one of the reasons why I didn't immediately podfic something. But here we are now. The story has one of my favorite tropes, which is amnesia. And it has a happy ending, which is also perfect. It also perfectly bridges that little gap between episode 36 and the epilogue. Plus, it's a pretty good explanation for Ashu's surprised look in the epilogue. Speaking of which, obviously that moment is what I had to pick for the cover art. Because out of context, it could be any of their meetings from this story, but in context, it is of course exactly that scene from the end of the fic, which ties back into the epilogue. And for the song, I knew I wanted a song in Chinese, and I wanted something that was melancholy and where the lyrics fit the themes of the story. And I received the recommendation to just have a look through Gong Jun's Chinese playlist, and eventually I found this song. So I recommend looking up a translation of the lyrics because the song really suits the story well. And that's all I've got to share about this one. Talk to you next time. Bye!